All right then. Can you hear my fan, by the way, bro?
No, I can't hear your fan.
I've got
Do you
the
want me to
worst.
hear your fan?
No, I don't.
Would
I
you like
mean, I'm worried about it, obviously.
Okay.
Honestly, it's so hot, like I can't turn the heat off. It's crazy. But let's get started. On a world spinning its way to damnation amidst the fear and despair of a broken human race, who's left to fight for what's good and pure? Two random people on a Zoom call. We are dealing with some serious grief, some serious ennui. I mean, my mood yesterday before the win was really low, and then after the win, it was really, really high. And then somehow today, by virtue of the fact that the NHL Department of Player Safety is what it is, my mood is once again ruined. Please, your reaction to today's events.
Well, I think the nurse suspension was, that's what it should be, right? Makes sense. The Pietrangelo suspension was not what it should be. Doesn't make sense. Yeah. Strange. I mean, you'd think that the NHL would be more concerned with protecting the player responsible for what legitimately could become the greatest postseason in the history of the game, but I guess they're not.
No,
but you'd think they would be.
I mean, even just let's put that aside. Put aside the value of Draisaitl to the league at large, to the game.
Sure.
I mean, as Oilers fans, we're lucky because his career has been kind of the conduit. It's been the prism through which we've all imagined that so much more is possible. Like, Leon Draisaitl has ignited and inspired the entire Oilers fan base in a way that almost no other player, you know, sans maybe McDavid, has inspired any other fan base in recent years, although every team has their stars. Just put that aside. Put aside the fact that he is one of the greatest players. He's right up there amongst the greatest players of all time, already one of the greatest playoff performers of all time.
Like I said, could legitimately have the greatest postseason in NHL history.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's threatening to do exactly that.
That's crazy.
The issue that I have, okay, is the fact that one of the suspensions is from a fight that was, you know, pretty clearly willing combatants. There were only two instigator penalties the entire regular season, someone tweeted, which, you know.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that's a fight, okay? That's NHL hockey. That's playoff hockey. It's been
a
dirty
series. No, that
was
instigator.
Fine, whatever,
in
yeah.
From the blue line.
Give him
it's,
the one
he
game.
Earned it.
But yeah. Fucking Pietrangelo from, like, the Oilers' blue line to the center line to his blue line had his eyes on Draisaitl. There was an intent to injure him through that entire shift. He had him in his crosshairs. He skated towards him in a way that has nothing to do with the play at all, and that has nothing to do with the game of hockey, okay? And it has to do with someone just literally snapping and deciding, you know what? I'm snapping. I have a piece of hardwood or composite, whatever, in my hands. I'm going to go use that as a weapon of violence against someone. And I texted you earlier today and I talked about Chris Simon and I said it's difference in degree and not kind. And I still stand by that because Chris Simon just went nuclear. He lost his fucking mind. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing where you're standing there. You're so pissed off. You're so over imbibed with rage and frustration and whatever other emotion.
Yeah.
That you're just like, I'm just going to go fucking, you know, attack this person with this hockey
for
stick.
Sure.
Which, you know, Casey Jones did it in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a little more whimsical, a little more fun. You know, you didn't really worry about the Foot Clan. But we're talking about human beings who could get really fucking hurt. And I know we're Oilers fans, I know we're biased, but even so, I don't think the fact that we're biased should mean we should just ignore what we're seeing and what we're feeling. And honestly, the two dirtbags here on this podcast right now, man, we're more free than most people, most commentators certainly, to like literally just speak what we really feel and throw some mud on this subject. Personally, I think the current state of NHL officiating, writ large, top down, is in an incredibly sorry state. They need to throw tens of millions of dollars at researching what the fuck other leagues do, because clearly they're just... I mean, they're living in a different century. They're living in a different fucking century, dude. And there's this false equivalency. There's just like, oh, okay, well, we suspend Nurse. That's automatic. That's easy. And we're just going to pretend that we're Solomon. We're dividing the baby. We're going to even it up. Oh, let's divide the baby in half. Yeah. We're so wise. Look at me. I'm King Solomon. I'm dividing the baby. Except in the story of King Solomon, unlike the two teams vying for a playoff, you know, continuation here, you know, one of those mothers had the heart to say, you know what, I don't want the baby to die. But the Vegas Golden Knights aren't going to say, hey, I don't want the baby to die. They're going to say, cut that baby in fucking half. We're the Vegas Golden Knights. We're in a professional league where there's all these incredible stakes. And, like, the fact that they just decided, you know, instead of giving, like, this bullshit about, oh, he's not a previous offender, blah, blah. It's very intense. It's very much like a lawless atmosphere. I mean, my biggest issue is this bullshit, like false equivalency. We're going to be King Solomon. Oh, you know, we're suspending Nurse, so we'll suspend Petrangelo the same period of time. Even though the one guy was, you know, instigator fine, whatever, one game fine. Fine Jay Woodcroft, one of the best coaches of the last 5 years to emerge in the league. Fine him $10,000, fine. But Petrangelo skated like 80 feet.
Yeah, I know.
With a thought in his head, I'm going to fucking injure this guy. Like, they never even mentioned the intent to injure, you know?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, that looked really scary. Like, that could have broke Dry's arm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, 9 times out of 10, that play, I mean, when you see a slash like that, it usually results in an injury. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure it did result in some manner of injury. Like, there's no way he doesn't have a huge fucking bruise on both arms.
Yeah, maybe. But I guess what I'm saying is he's lucky to skate away and, like, to be fine and not, like, you know, hunched over on the bench, rocking back and forth, like, cradling his arms. Because usually with a slash of that magnitude, that's what's going on. And like I said, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I was in charge of a league, I would always be very aware, especially in the postseason. And especially, you know, Leon Draisaitl's having one of the best postseasons ever. You want to set an example. And the example needs to be set to the rest of the guys in the league. Like, it's when they talk about protecting star players, that's how that works, right? Like, if somebody takes a cheap shot at a star player, you have to punish the player that did that, because then nobody else will do it. They'll be like, that's not an option. Like, despite this guy being immensely more talented than we are, we're not going to be able to just, like, stick him out of the game, you know? Like, that's how, when they talk about protecting the star players, that's what that is. And you'd think that if ever there was a case to be made where this is the time, you know, to protect a star player. He's on what is about to be the marquee franchise in the league, if it's not that already, like, and a player that could quite possibly legitimately have the greatest postseason in the history of the game. Think of all the names out there. Draisaitl could have a better postseason than any of those names. He could be a name that'll echo on throughout the history of the NHL. And he was almost lost to, like, the cheapest shot of all time. And by not punishing the player that did that, you're sending the message that it's basically open season. Like, the bar has been set, right? The precedent has been set now with this measly one game suspension. And it's just, it's shocking.
It's cowardice. It's a cowardly move to give them to even up the suspensions. It's the cowardice of saying, oh, we'll just even it up. We don't want to affect anything. But, dude, you can't treat two things that are totally unequal as equal. That's the most unequal thing you could do, bro.
It's just so organizationally, like, lame. You know what I mean? Like, you're really going out of your way to potentially sabotage your business. Like, it's poor business practice to do something like that. That's what I was most shocked by, just, like, how they really don't seem to give a shit about, like, they don't understand how it works. You know what I mean? Like, protect what you have. Protect your assets. The players are your assets, not some, like, you know, prehistoric tough guy notion or something.
Oh,
like,
no,
that.
I want,
like, that's,
I,
not,
yeah, yeah,
that's not your asset.
I want to talk about that, but, like, even beyond just as, like, a economic asset in the organization, in the economic entity that is the National Hockey League, just fucking protect human beings. Like, there's no reason why a human being should have to suffer the indignity of being attacked that way with a hockey stick on in an ice rink in front of, like, I mean, it's literally like, we literally are just tolerating an intent to injure, an act of violence, and saying, okay, this is equivalent to something that really is totally different. You know, it's in a different category. I did want to say, 100%. It's like, there's this like gentleman kind of BS. You talked about it a little bit just now, but there's this one thing I think is really holding the league back, along with privilege, along with like the patronage networks in the NHL are like off the hook. And the leadership, you know, in a lot of ways I would describe as ambulatory, which means, you know, out of touch is what I would say. Ambulatory means what I think, what you think it would mean. I'm a little self-conscious because Reed and Rob were saying how I use the hardest words to understand.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to boil it down.
You add all those things
together, and it's a league governed by like fear and doubt. Like evening up the calls between Nurse and Petrangelo, that's a fear and doubt move. That's saying, I don't want to upset either fan base. We're just going to even it up. We have a chance to do the cowardly thing and take the coward's way out and not make a statement about, you know, regardless of how good Leon Draisaitl is, he's a human being who should be protected from acts of violence. I mean, that's part of the social contract writ large, last I checked.
Right. Yeah, I mean, is the suspension different if instead of going to the bench, Dry walks down the tunnel? Everything stays the same. Slash stays the same. Is the suspension different if Dry just goes down the tunnel and, like, we don't really hear from him until after the...
I mean, yeah, because... Yeah, because the theatrics have a huge impact on this shit, man. Like, the theatrics and the diving and all the other shit, it's just like... I'm sorry, but I'm particularly peeved because I feel like at least in 3 playoff series now, maybe 4 in the last 2 years, the Oilers have been played pretty fucking dirty. You know, there's been some teams that have played pretty dirty against them. And the league doesn't really give a shit because they are well situated. You know, they don't have an incentive to like revamp the whole officiating system, obviously. It's a huge undertaking. It would be extremely difficult, but honestly, it has to happen because like, I'm going to fucking watch tennis, man. I'm going to fucking start watching tennis. I'm open to podcast names for the tennis pod. I'm watching fucking John McEnroe tantrums to like kind of channel my rage. You know, it reminds me of something that people said during like post like French Revolution France. There was a period of time where they had to pay like all this money and give all this shit to like Prussia. And there was a saying amongst the French at the time, whenever you felt like you were doing something that was like bullshit or a waste of time or like unjust, you'd say, "Oh, I feel like I'm working for the King of Prussia."
Yeah.
Oh, you're working for the King of Prussia, man. Ah, yeah, working for the King of. We're all working for the King of Prussia, dude. I mean, just in society in general, but sports is supposed to be meritocratic. It's supposed to be like a last haven, a last kind of flowering of meritocracy, and that's what I feel like we're being robbed of. I do want to give all the NHL people out there some advice. They all have to sit down individually and watch the film from 2016, Deepwater Horizon, directed by Peter Berg. It gives you a litany of everything that can go wrong in an organization, from like diffused responsibilities to like short-term thinking. Like in that movie, it's like, oh, we not only want to save the money on this $100 million test we have to do on the fucking rig.
Yeah.
We're not even going to do the test because if it fails, that's going to be like a $1 billion problem. And we don't even want to know. Right. And right now, that's a lot of that shit is going around. Like, people don't want to know. They don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to act because it's just entrenched the way it is. And it's fatally flawed right now, mainly by the fact that it can't actually advance. Like, they're not actually, there's no ethos or spirit of advancing, breaking the mold, and taking the fucking officiating into the 21st century. Because now it's in, like, the 17th century. It's, like, 4 or 5 centuries back.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, of all the 4 major leagues, it's definitely, well, I mean, I guess the other major leagues have had some sort of watershed moment where it's really, you know, clearly necessitated the need for an officiating overhaul, whether it's match fixing or, you know, really, you know, super egregious, like I'm thinking specifically of like the pass interference call in that NFL playoff game a couple years ago.
And the NBA had a really big scandal too.
Yeah, for sure. But baseball is just like constantly that. But all of those have been like addressed. You know what I mean? Maybe. And I feel like the NHL hasn't really had that. Maybe in part of the nature of the game, because it's a much more different game than all the other four or the other three. But it's also just it just hasn't had that one huge incident that's set everything in motion, so they're able to just kind of skate by.
Totally. Well, no, they haven't. Like, that kind of disaster actually would be a blessing in disguise for the league.
Yeah, because
it would
force them to wake up. But
because they've been able to fly under the radar, everyone just watches NASCAR. They don't even consider them top four. You know, college football, college basketball. They're like NHL, blah, blah, blah. People like still like a like there was literally a motherfucker on ESPN the other day who asked another analyst. He was like, "Who do you think is the next New York team to win a championship?"
And yeah,
the guy
I saw that.
Pounded the desk and said, "New York Rangers." And the guy was just like, "Fuck you. Hockey's a joke." And it's like, you're the fucking broadcast partner for this shit. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know, man. Like, it's painful. I honestly think we need to have like a Martin Luther moment. Do you know the famous saying Martin Luther said during the kind of right on the cusp of the Reformation? I believe it was at the Diet of Worms.
What did he say?
He said, "Here I stand. I can do no other," I think.
Yeah, right. Right.
I also quoted Yeats on Overtime Open Line last night. Did you hear that?
You told me it, but I didn't listen to the show.
I learned it from Seinfeld, is what I'm trying to tell people. There's like the scene where Kramer buys Elaine the perfect birthday present. It's like the bench that she wanted.
Right.
And then she reads the card, and it's a quote from Yeats about friendship. And Kramer just looks at Jerry, and he's like, "Yeats." Yeats is a very satisfying thing to say. I really enjoy saying the word yeats. We got to cling to everything right now because we're living in a cruel world. Anything else you want to say to the people?
No, I will say, like, you were really, like, you were dreading that game. Like, going into that game, you're not in a good place.
Oh, I was in a horrible place. And I'm right back in that place.
What was going on?
Dude,
but
I can't
why?
Because it's a year building up to this shit. Like, literally, for me to be able to handle
this. The Oilers
this,
are like so much better than Vegas. Like,
I know.
Series is toast.
When you anticipate something for like almost a full calendar year, and you're my personality type, which is someone who's weak, lacking in character, fortitude, tenacity.
Right.
You know, whenever my metal is tested, you know, the guy that's doing the metal testing just like looks at the like a report, and then he kind of gets this like sad, dejected look on his face. He kind of shakes his head and he kind of looks at me with like a look of pity. And he's like, "Dude, we tested your metal, MATTLE. And you should just go. You should just leave.
No bueno.
No bueno.
You failed."
Yeah. I never heard him say me encanta. I'll tell you that much right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's a really shitty suspension. But the positive is that Dry is healthy. Petrangelo is not going to be in the next game. Nurse isn't going to be there either. But I don't know. To me, Petrangelo is more of a major cog at this point than Nurse is. So I don't know. That's how I'm looking at it. It's a really shitty. It was a extremely shitty decision by the NHL, and I'm just shocked at like Drysdale's like he's the best player left in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what the deal is with that. That makes no sense to me. Like, it was such a late.
It was late. So dirty. It was one of the dirtiest plays I've seen in years. Yeah, in years,
exactly.
Like, how is
probably
it 5 years? Since you've
since
seen
that
him play
Simon
that
Simon thing,
it's crazy.
Since that, and then before that, I'd say it was the Marty McSorley when he like slashed Brashear in the head.
Oh,
like,
man.
those are the things.
It's like, we don't need that, man. We don't need.
And the ref, the one ref was like, you know, right there and stuff, and he called it and whatever. But yeah, it's just crazy. It's just, I can't believe the NHL has stepped that bar. Like, that's a really dangerous thing to do. Organizationally, like as an organization, the NHL
fails. Setting fires. They're setting their own fires.
It never fails to impress me how they mess things up. Like, I don't think they've marketed McDavid or Drysdale at all. Like, this is the best player we're going to see in our lifetime. You know what I mean? They've totally bungled it. I guess because he's on Edmonton. But if they had any brains, they would realize that, like, that makes no difference. You know, greatness is recognized. The market doesn't matter as much as you think it matters, especially when you're dealing with a small group of hockey fans. You know what I mean? That fire is only going to spread. Like, you already, like, what are you worried about? You're just not going to market it at all because it's in Edmonton, so you're just not going to do anything? They've bungled the entire thing, and they've just continually do these things that just makes absolutely no sense. Like, they have no idea what's going on. I don't think. I mean, when the whole Hawks thing happened, when all that was going on, and remember when Gary Bettman and Bill Richardson made that, like, sweaty YouTube apology vid or whatever?
Oh, my God. Like, oh, my God.
Dress even... shirts in a hotel room? It's just, like, so ramshackle. Yeah.
No, it was
like
bad.
Just so
bad.
Clueless. And that's, like, that was them, you know, the heads of this business coming up with a plan, like, we're gonna do this, let's do this, this is the right move to do. And it's like that line of thinking just permeates, that style permeates everything the league does.
It's the king of Prussia. It's the king of Prussia trying to apply some bullshit from 2 centuries ago, being like, oh, you know, you just got to be a man and a gentleman. And, oh, he hasn't had any suspensions before.
So
yeah, but he stabbed him with a knife. He didn't have any suspensions before. He committed an act of violence. He didn't have any suspensions before. Meanwhile, they, like, don't even consider, like, waiving the nurse thing. I mean, fine. But they're not protecting their players, and they're setting a fire where the players themselves feel, you know, if it falls on them to speak to a law beyond law, to speak to the law that transcends all this institutional bullshit. And if you want the Wild West, good job, NHL Department of Player Safety. Good job. The Wild West is what you have.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, but not really surprising. And it took them so long to come to that decision too. Like,
it did take a little
while. I'm curious as to how that appeals hearing went down. Like, did it take a long time because Vegas was, like, saying, like, no way, like, at a suspension, are you kidding me? And the NHL was like, one game, like, that's worth one. Like, what took so long to come to the conclusion that it was one game? You know what I mean? Like, what was the decision-making process? Like,
whatever,
how did you come
whatever.
To it just blows my mind.
There's no point in thinking about it because, you know, like, we all have almost no faith in the system. The same way at least most of us have no faith in, you know, the great neoliberal order across the globe. We're now losing faith in the NHL, at least to just reach a level of, like, not the officiating not being so bad that it's, like, super problematic. We've accepted that it's going to be a little problematic. We've all accepted that. We're very forgiving. Any final words, brother, before I let you return to your spiritual studies?
No, that's about it. I mean, I am really looking forward to the game tomorrow. For everything it was, that game four was also, like, a hell of a hockey game. And
it's true.
It feels like a long time since I had seen a game like that. Like, that's this very certain kind of playoff game. And I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with that type of game. But I hadn't seen that in years. Like, I don't think there was one game with that much intensity last year. Like, not, you know, possibly not in this era of Oilers playoff hockey have we seen a game like that. It was crazy.
We should be grateful for it. Let's just try and return to that state of mind. That's good. That's a good thing to end off on.